Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second. He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Wednesday. Welcome to another very special episode of You're Welcome. You know what? Let's recap the weekend. Where do I even begin? Okay, how about the fight nobody talked about? Joanna not champion, taking on Rose. You know, no hype behind this fight. Very, very little. And it wasn't just because you got George sitting on top of the card or you got the grudge match with Cody TJ. The reason nobody talked about this fight is because it was so obvious that Rose, who is very likable, a very kind and sweet person, aside from her sports and the persona and whatever you might think, but just a really nice person, versus Joanna, there was nothing to see there. It was a mismatch from the jump. Joanna was going to slaughter her, and no one wanted to discuss it because everybody likes Rose. Put myself in the same pool. That's why I never talked about it. There was nothing to see here. There's no fight to be seen here. I'm not even positive it was the right fight to make, other than you just needed a body to put in there with Joanna. Wrong. Boy, did we have that wrong. You know, we've seen this before in MMA. Taking Rose in that fight, Rose was a 9-1. I think when it finally went off, she was 8-1. She was 9-1 early in the week. I think it was 8-1, but you get the point. That was just a straight line bet. That's the underdog she was. Any which way she gets her hand raised, you're going to make 8 times on your money. To submit her, if Rose was to win by submission, was like a 14-1. Rose by knockout, which a grand total of none of you predicted, none of us, I'm included in that, was something like 25-1. And Rose by knockout in the first round, I don't even know what those numbers were. I never took the time to check because it was never going to happen in a million years. What? Wrong. Again, wrong. And that's what helped add to this being one of the great mixed martial arts cards of all time. One of the absolute greats. Now, we all have short-term memories, and I'm no different. Come away with that opinion a lot. That was the greatest ever. Or we'll break it down something smaller into a fighter. Some fighter goes out and impresses us. Ah, that's the greatest of all time. And then 2 weeks later, some other stud comes out. That's the greatest of all time. We do that, right? We're all guilty of that. Throw myself in that pool. But golly, I can't remember a card that was better than this. And a lot of it had to do with Rose. When you get what you paid for, in anything in life, any retail outlet in the world, you get what you paid for, you're content. When you get what you paid for plus a surprise, my goodness, that doesn't happen. I mean, that's an incredible retail value. We all put our $50 down any which way you wanted to do it. Most of us just to have conversation and socialize with whoever house we were at or whoever came over to our house to enjoy the show as we kill a few hours. Rose goes out there and beats her at her own game. And we have seen that before. We have seen that at MMA. You take a grappler like Rose, specialty. Now, let's not forget, this isn't 1990s anymore. Okay, Rose knows how to throw her hands. She knows how to throw her knees and her feet. She can grapple, she can wrestle, she can do it all. But it is fair to say that of her strengths, it's grappling. And more so over surprise grappling. Flying arm bars, flying triangles. Real risk taker. But grappling all the same. Versus this nasty, proficient, energy filled, young, arrogant champion in Joanna. And Joanna is the kind of persona that we would all hate, right? If that was a male doing what she's doing, we would all hate her. The difference between her and Colby Covington as far as attitude and aggressiveness and in your face isn't much. Colby's hated. But why didn't we hate Joanna? Why does nobody hate Joanna? Well, I think I can answer that. We don't hate her because we respected the hell out of her. She is so good, so talented, so technical, and she's tough. She's really tough. It's very rare that you get an athlete that's both. If you're really, really good, you go all the way to a world championship. If you're really, really tough, you go all the way to a world championship. When you're both, it's rare. She's both. She's tougher than hell, and she's excellent. And her interviews are entertaining, and they're fun. And all that aggressive in your face and telling people, we got a kick out of it, didn't we? So we didn't. No one hated Joanna. But we did understand how good she was. And we knew she was going to destroy Rose. And she did it. And anytime you've got these grappler versus striker, it has happened before. This isn't the first time. We just haven't seen it in a while. Where the grappler will come out and beat the striker at their own game. And the reason that happens, guys, it's real simple. 101. It's unexpected. It's not as though Joanna's opinion of what was going to happen in that contest was any greater than our opinions. Just because she's a principal in that fight doesn't mean that she's got a better analysis or more insight or saw more film or tape on Rose than we all did. So in that aspect, yeah, sure, we weren't the ones in there. She was, but she had the same mindset as we did. I'm going to keep this standing up. I'm going to punch her and kick her to death and try to stay off the ground and watch out for some of her sneaky submissions and go home. So it was one of those moments. And when that fight came up, I really didn't want to see it. I wasn't against it. I wasn't for it. But I do remember when that fight came up, I do remember looking down at my watch and thinking, okay, how long until Cody and TJ? I remember thinking that. And right now, I can't possibly tell you why in the hell I thought that. It would have changed my opinion of the whole night. And the whole night was great. It was great. But to make a statement that it was the greatest ever, I can't remember a time. I had so much fun watching a mixed martial arts card. I couldn't make that statement. That really was one of the, oh my goodness, moments. And frankly, she had it twice in one night, right? She drops Joanna. Joanna works back up to her feet, and Rose goes right back to it. And there is a rule in fighting. It's a rule in football. It's a rule in basketball. It's a rule in all sport where you're taking on an opponent. And that is, if something works, do it again. And do it again and do it again. With the real simple theory being, a person cannot develop defense on the move. They got to go to the locker room and fly home and go into the gym and work with their coaches for months and months and months to fill whatever hole that is that they have. So in fighting, you see it more than you do plays on the field in football, than you do on the court in basketball. But it exists there too, but you do see it a little bit more in fighting. So if Rose can slip in that overhand left on Joanna once, go right back to it. If she fell for it once, she's going to fall for it again. And the same would be true for Rose, but it happened in Joanna this time. Rose drops her, comes back up to her feet, goes right back to it, throws the leg kicks, moves around, pressures her forward, sees the shot, lands it again. Really quite remarkable. You move on to Cody and TJ. Wow. See, that's another one. And that's another, and similar to Rose and Joanna, even though I saw the result and I accept it and I appreciated it and I'm glad I did witness it, now I'm not positive who the better fighter is. I really don't know. I mean, Joanna and Rose, go back to that. You go do that one again. I have a feeling Joanna would come across as the favorite again and probably sizably, probably a 4-1, which is sizable. It'd be half of what she was this time, but I have a feeling she'd be the favorite again. I think that's something that surprised us so much, we probably all need to see it again. Similar to Anderson and Weidman. Weidman dusted him up the first time, but the finish was a little weird. The whole fight wasn't even close, but the finish was a little weird for some people, not for me, for some people. And when they rematched, Anderson was the favorite again. Coming in off the loss, he was the favorite. I think that could happen there, and I think that could happen in Cody TJ. I don't know. Right, Cody drops TJ, largely saved by the bell. TJ comes back and tricks him. Oh, that TJ Dillashaw. Oh, my goodness. What a talent. What a talented guy. I hope you guys can see that. Sometimes in sports, you don't always know what you're seeing if you're a fan. Oh, that was cool. I can just tell you as a fighter, those movements that he's doing, his ability to understand range, his ability to lure his opponent with subtle movements like changing elevation, putting his hands down and shaking his shoulders. To you guys at home, you go, okay, well, he changed elevation, put his hands down and shook his shoulders. Well, as a fighter, I can tell you, he just gave him a lot to look at there. He changed the range and he changed the distance just by bending his knees. Now, also, okay, that's not really what Cody's used to punching at. Cody's not used to punching at a head that is now at waist level. So he's got to adjust, and then before he does that, TJ's shaking his shoulders at him. Well, that's a little bit of a visual distraction. That's going to buy you a millisecond. Millisecond's a long time in a fist fight. TJ's doing this stuff all night long. 3-inch little step to the left. 3 inches to the right. 1 inch back. But he's constantly changing the range. He's constantly giving you something to look at. Then on that finish, he reaches in like he's going for a shot, gets the hands to drop a couple of inches by Cody, because Cody thinks a shot's coming. And then he springs back up with a head kick. Very complicated technique. Not one that I can remind you of somebody else doing. I haven't seen it before. I haven't seen a guy do that. Not with that setup. Not with that setup. Yeah, I've seen guys get kicked in the head before, sure. Not with that setup. Not with the setup to a shot of a single on the same side. Boom, springs back up with a kick. As amazing as it was, they were going to go fight again, man. I'm in. And if you wanted to tell me you thought Cody was going to win, be hard to argue. Cody showed that he could beat TJ. Sure he did. TJ showed he could beat Cody. Sure he did. Just a really great fight. Which also leaves you with commentary and speculation about the future and adds to the fun. And that's really the point I'm trying to argue right now. That's all I'm stressing to you. This was fun. So let's bring on the main event. I thought the critics had it right. I thought the critics were correct when they said that George St. Pierre would be slower than he used to be. He was. I thought the critics were right when they said St. Pierre, because of the size difference, isn't going to be able to just get underneath Michael Bisping and tackle him and double leg him down to the ground and hold him there like he did everybody else. They were right. He wasn't. Struggled with those takedowns. Really struggled to keep him down. They said George's conditioning's not going to hold up. His timing's going to be off. That comes with 4 years off. There's no way to replicate that. They were right. That was a sluggish and poor George St. Pierre. What everybody also found out is that the gap between George St. Pierre as a mixed martial artist and the rest of the field is significant. And the only fighter that I've seen that could beat that George St. Pierre on Saturday night, also known as the best fighter alive, with 12 pounds of gold to prove it, the only guy I could think that could beat him was George St. Pierre of 2013. I agree with the critics in hindsight. Critics had it right. George is not as good as he used to be. It just turns out that he's still the baddest man alive. It's just a cool thing because it doesn't work that way. I could think of a few examples of guys that took time off and came back to the top. Cale Sanderson comes to mind. Dominic Cruz comes to mind. George Foreman comes to mind. And then I got to pause and I got to think. It's a really rare thing. It's a really, really rare thing. And George is such a fantastic athlete. And when you talk about, you know, who's the great fighter? Who's a great fighter? It's not as simple as saying, who. For me, that's whoever can go into a fight and win. For me, the great fighter is a guy that goes into a fight and wins. But there's a conversation there where people go, well, hold on, now you're talking about athleticism. I want to know who can fight. Okay, well then define for me what that means. Who can dig deep? Who can deal with adversity? Who can come back? Who can push when they're tired? When they're hurt? And you could always leave that asterisk out there for George. And it wasn't his fault. He was similar to Roy Jones of the 90s. He just whipped everybody's ass. There's nobody that could deal with him. So you never had to see him fight. You never had to see him dig deep. You never had to see him when he was hurt. Save one example, which was Johnny Hendricks. And so many people wrote George off because of that fight. Some people thought he lost, including Dana White, thought he lost that fight and the judges had it wrong. And other people saw George for the first time ever in a back-and-forth battle with somebody who could stand up to him. And for those reasons, they wrote him off. And it's those very reasons that I pushed back on it. So, wait, just a second here. Johnny Hendricks was the legitimate number one contender. Johnny Hendricks went on to capture the world championship and defend it and contest for it after the fact. That wasn't a bad George we saw. That was George in a dogfight. Maybe a little harder fight than he was expecting. And he dealt with it and he pushed through and he won. The question of, is George just simply the greatest athlete, or can he dig deep when he needs to? I think it was answered. He was a little tired out there by his standards. He was a little slow. His timing was a little off. He was a little bit more nervous. That was a bad version of George St. Pierre. And he's still the baddest guy alive. And I can't pay him a bigger compliment. And it has nothing to do with Bisping. None of this massage George's ego and the little George tickle fest I'm on right now. None of that's to put down Bisping, man. I thought Bisping went out there like the true warrior he is. He manned up. He went and dealt with George. He was going to have some problems. He was going to get taken down like everybody else did. Well, he made it real hard. And he stopped a lot of those shots. And once he got taken down, he wasn't going to get up. He couldn't get up against Rockhold. He couldn't get up against Kennedy. He got up. He got over to that fence one time and crawled up, and he was dead center in the octagon, which is a bit of a down spot for Bisping. He has a hard time getting off the bottom. When he's in the middle of the octagon, he found a way to both hips, shoved him off, popped right back up to his feet, pushed the pace, coming after him, throwing punches, circling, doing what he does. Bisping fought great. It was a great match. George is just the best guy out there. It got nothing to do with Bisping. Take Bisping out of it because I don't want any of this to sound bad for him at all, man. He went out there and represented himself really, really well to the bitter end. Never surrendered, never gave up. But just don't forget who you're dealing with. And if I was to break down George's stats for you guys, it would leave you with your jaw dropped. You guys would go, wow, I've been watching George's whole career, but I didn't realize that. If I was to tell you that George St. Pierre has lost 3 rounds since 2002, you'd go, what? Chill, that can't be true. Yeah, George has lost 3 rounds since 2002. And 2 of those 3 rounds were in the same fight against Johnny Hendricks. Official scorecards. You go, my God, why isn't somebody making something of this? How is this not a headline? That's got to be a record. Yeah, I agree with you. That's got to be a record. I don't know why it is in the headlines. I guess because they got other stuff to write about. I guess because he keeps defending championships, because he retires, because he changes weight class. There's just other stuff to talk about. I told you he won more rounds than anybody else in UFC history. You go, oh, that can't be true. Yeah. Yeah, he's been out there in a 5-round contest, he's won more rounds than anybody in UFC history. All sorts of things I could tell you about George St. Pierre. He's been taken down less times than anybody in championship history. He scored more takedowns than anybody in championship. I mean, I could just go through the numbers of the records that he set, but they don't ever make headlines because there's other stuff to write about. He's doing even bigger things than this. The guy's just special. He's a special talent. And we have to be reminded of it. We have to be reminded of it, but boy, I just think he's closed up all the arguments. Is he just the best athlete? He certainly is the best athlete, my opinion. And I'm sure I'd win that argument. Is he also the toughest? A little more wide open, but he's sure as hell tough enough. He is sure as hell tough enough. And I didn't have the same opinion as a lot of people did in the second round. It looked as though, and I heard Cormier and the announcing team saying it looked as though George was tiring. That's not what I saw. I did see a Bisping coming on. I did see a Bisping that was trying to win a round and knew he was losing it. And like the competitor he is, wanted to come back and grab it. I saw a George who had a knockdown in that round and began to relax thinking that the round was won. That's what I saw. That's what my eyes were telling me. Popular opinion on that is that George was getting tired. That's just not what I saw. I did not think that. When they went in between rounds, I was texting with some friends, and the beginning of the end, and George is falling apart. It's not what I saw. I thought I saw a George that understands a 10-9 must system, understands a 5-minute round, understands he has a knockdown, and understands he has to do 3 more of these tonight against a world champion, and that he relaxed a little bit. That's what I saw in the second round. And this is what I was telling people that I was discussing this with, and I think that I was proven correct. Because in the third round, he came out just fine. And even when George slowed down a little bit, he never was backing up. He was still the aggressor. He was still controlling space. And when he finally got that knockdown, he swarmed. You know, he went for the TKO with ground and pound. Ton of energy right there. Found the back, and snuck in the choke. And that choke was applied incorrectly, at least for what George wanted. He had it on the wrong side. Getting your hands behind your opponent's head and getting your hands locked and put in position with MMA gloves on, very, very hard to do. It was really a beautiful and special technique. I think George deserves credit for that. So that's really what happened on the night. I'll tell you guys what, and I know a lot of you guys cleaned house because I was thanked a million times on Twitter, and I appreciate that. I deserve a thank you. I'm the one that told you guys to go to betdsi.com, set up an account using the promo code CHAIL25, and BetDSI will give you $25. No strings attached. You don't get out of credit cards. You don't make a payment. Guys, I don't do strings over here, man. And I hate when other people do. They're going to give you $25 just to go to their website and set up an account using the promo code CHAIL25. You play that any which way you want and go take their money. BetDSI has been in business over 20 years. They score an A+ on sports review sites, and they have made a reputation out of getting paid fast and easy. They've been with me from the beginning of this show, which is why they are giving my listeners only $25 for free. Just go over there, use the promo code CHAIL25.
Now on Podcast One Sports, it's a family affair on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast.
We're going to attack this day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
Hear incredible stories on Sound of Success, the Dick Enberg podcast.
Oh, my.
And guess who's talking America's favorite basketball team?
Hey, it's Jay Moore, and it is time for America's Lakers podcast.
Listen on Apple Podcasts, the new Podcast One app. And where else, Jay?
PodcastOne.com.
You're welcome. You're welcome with Chael Sonnen.
All right, I want to get into one other point, and I'm going to be a little critical here, but my heart is in the right place. I would never kick a man when he's down, ever. And I want to be critical of Johnny Hendricks. And Johnny's down, but I'm not kicking him. I'm coming from a different spot. I am coming from a place that I am a Johnny Hendricks believer. I am not on board that it's all over for Johnny. I am not on board with Johnny needs to retire. I'm just not. But I am tired as a believer, as a fan. I am tired of seeing Johnny go in there and think that he's a boxer. And I have seen a few wrestlers, Johnny's a wrestler, come in and fall in love with their right hand. Josh Koscheck comes to mind. I use Josh by example because he was a fantastic wrestler. He was a fantastic fighter. And his career got a little bit off course. And when I watched it get off course, I watched Josh going out there with game plans that I did not agree with. And my opinion matters as it pertains to Johnny, or, and now I'm extending this to Josh. It matters because I am one of them. I am a wrestler. We came into the sport with the same goals and the same prior skill sets. Those guys just happen to have something very special in their right hand. So they were able to knock guys down and knock guys out and get out of there early and get out of there quick and make these highlight reels and get bonuses and get all these other things. But they fell in love with those right hands, both of them. All right, let me leave Koscheck out of this, but I would to use my example. He would pertain to this. I'll go back to Johnny. So Johnny falls in love with his right hand. And it happened a long time ago, man. It happened early in his career. And the only wrestler that I've ever seen be able effectively and for the long term convert over to a striker was Dan Henderson. And why he could do it, why he got away with it, we can do a whole show on that. But he's the only one that I've seen able to do that for the long term. And when guys started learning about Johnny's got a right hand, that's pretty easy to defend. Once you know a guy's got a weapon, it's pretty easy to defend. So once he goes and scores a few knockouts, all with the same shot, it becomes a little easier to know what in the hell to look for. If you don't have to worry about a jab and a hook and an uppercut, and you've only got to look for one thing, it just becomes harder to land. So that's the cross that Johnny had to bear. Okay, that's fine with me, because what I know is that anytime he wants to resort back to world-class wrestling ability, he's going to be able to do it. This is where the frustration comes. He has apparently lost that. And I don't believe he's lost it physically. I know a lot about Johnny's training. I know he, for a number of years, for training camp, was still going in the Oklahoma State wrestling room and wrestling every day. So I know physically he still got it, but mentally, he's forgetting the basics. Guys in wrestling, and it doesn't matter if you're doing MMA, the grappling, the wrestling portion of MMA. The first shot sets up the second shot. That's all the first shot does. These guys are too good to fall down with one shot. The first shot sets up the second shot. The second shot sets up the third shot, and that's what gets the guy down. When Johnny was wrestling, when he was winning NCAA championships, when he was taking three trips to the NCAA finals, when USA Wrestling was putting a full court press on him to keep him out of MMA and send him into the Olympic Games so he could bring home a gold medal for this country, that's how good he was. USA Wrestling went head-to-head in recruitment with the UFC over Johnny Hendricks, because they thought he was the guy that was going to bring home medals for this country. That's how good he was. Put it in perspective. I got to share that with you, because you're not seeing it in the cage. He's not doing it. And trust me that he's this good. He's just not doing it. When Johnny Hendricks was doing that college wrestling, he didn't take anybody down with one shot. Nobody. He would shoot, and that would create an angle or a situation or a scramble, and then he would reshoot. And then he would reshoot. The first shot sets up the second shot, sets up the third, which is what gets the guy down. It's basics in wrestling. And right now, it's like he's a bull and his opponents are just a matador. He shoots one time and they kind of move out of the way and you're back in the open, you're traded punches, and he's got to kind of figure out range and how am I going to get back in there? And okay, that doesn't work. Okay, now let's start over again. We're back at range. No, you shoot one time. That's just to get you close. You shoot again. Now that's to get your hands to his waist. Keep him trapped. You shoot a third time. That's the one where your hands come right underneath his hips. Your knees under you. Your chest is high. Your head's up. You're driving. And if you get lucky and you can break that cycle and get him down on the first, that's okay too. But the mindset is you shoot to a reshot to a reshot. I'm just not seeing Johnny do that. He does not need, for me, and I buy these things too. I don't have a special code. I go in there, I put my $50 down. For my $50, he does not need a new training situation. He doesn't need new coaches. He doesn't need new partners. He doesn't need to mix up his regimen. He does have to change his mindset and go back to what it is that got him to the top since he was 8 years old. You guys just don't know about it because wrestling doesn't get any kind of exposure. Johnny's been whipping ass since he was a little boy. Using the principles I'm talking about right now, getting your hands on a guy and keeping them there. I'll throw myself into this as an example. Randy Couture would be a better example. It's easier to talk about somebody else than it is myself. But I do fall into this. I'll give myself a little credit. But when I decide we're going to grapple, we are going to grapple. Same thing with Randy Couture. If he wanted to get his hands on you, maybe he wouldn't get the takedown. Maybe you're just now fighting out of the clinch. Maybe it'd go his way. Maybe it wouldn't. Same with me. But when I make that decision, we're going to grapple. It's now a grappling contest. You're not getting away from me. Never. Because I won't let you. All I got to do is move forward. Wherever you go, I just got to keep moving forward. Eventually, we'll hit that fence. But it may not work the first time. First time is only going to set up the second time. Second time is only going to set up the third time. But now I got my hands on it. You're not getting away. And I'm not understanding how Johnny's letting these guys get away. And he's doing the hard work. The hard work is getting there, getting in distance, making the decision, and then taking that knee or taking that uppercut, dealing with the pain to get your hands on a guy. Johnny's doing all of those things. He's taking the knees. He's taking the uppercuts. But then he's letting the guy go. For some fighters, I couldn't give them that same advice. They don't have that same skill set, but Johnny does. But he fell in love with his right hand. That's my critique on Johnny Hendricks. And I want to offer you this too. I happen to know Costa, who Johnny fought. I happen to know him differently than a lot of you do. He was on season 3 of The Ultimate Fighter in Brazil, where Vandalay and I were the coaches. And he was a very nice guy. And he had a very good attitude when practice was going on, and he was on Vandalay's team, but we're all around each other all the time. He worked really hard. I would see him grab coaches and go do mitts. And he'd go really hard. You could tell he really wanted to be good. But he had one big problem, which is he could only breathe for about 3 minutes. 3 minutes into it, he was so muscled up and he was so strong, he just had a really hard time. And in fighting, it's one of the most important things. Is that you can go the distance. If it's 15 minutes or it's 25. But that conditioning aspect is just so important. And he didn't have it. And there were 16 guys that made The Ultimate Fighter. And I would say of those 16 guys, he was probably number 8. He was probably number 9. He was definitely just a guy in the process. And he lost, I believe, his very first match. I was there. I am passionate. I have a great memory. I saw it. I don't have the foggiest idea who beat him. My point being, he was inconsequential to the championship and to the strategies of getting one of your athletes to be crowned the Ultimate Fighter. None of that is an insult to him. I'm sharing with you the reality and how far he's come in 3 years. It's meant as a compliment. This is how much better he's gotten since I was with him in 2014. he is being billed as 11-0 with 11 KOs. That's accurate. Because I'll remind you guys, I know what you're thinking right now. Wait a minute, Chael, this guy's undefeated, but you're telling me you watched him lose in the very first round. Well, the Ultimate Fighter is actually exhibition matches. Even though the commission is there, it's this weird area, but these are actually exhibition matches. They go 2 5-minute rounds instead of three, and there's some moving parts there to why they regulate it and sanction it and weigh them in and license them and do the whole bit, but why they fall under exhibition. But that's just the way it goes. So it wouldn't matter if he had won there. It wouldn't count on his record. If he lost there, it doesn't count against his record. So he's still officially undefeated. But I happen to know this guy. And I thought, well, you know, he's never wrestled. Big, strong guy, but he has taken on Johnny Hendricks. Johnny can get him down. But it wasn't just Costa that Johnny struggled with. He couldn't get Neil Magny down. And I could just keep going through the list. The last time I saw Johnny out there firing takedowns was against Carlos Condit. Carlos kept getting back up, and Johnny had to keep taking him down. I think Johnny had like 6 takedowns in the fight. So I know he's got the skill, but he's not trying. He's not even trying to do it. It's not a matter that he's failing. He's not trying. He's fallen in love with a different strategy. He's bought into a different strategy. That's my commentary on Johnny. So I just wanted to share that, guys, with you. I know Johnny listens to the show. That's my 2 cents. But I'm right. I'm completely right. And I'd like to see him change it up. Oh, I'll give you a final thought. I'll give you guys one final thought, and we'll get out of here. And that is TJ's call out. TJ called out Demetrius Johnson. The backstory on that, if you guys remember, when TJ was supposed to fight Cody Garbrandt, and Cody had an injury to his neck or to his back, but he has some kind of an injury that delayed the fight. Boom. They were going to throw Demetrius and TJ together. And not just throw it together. TJ was going to go down to Demetrius' weight class. And Demetrius pushed back and said, no, not so fast. You're not in this weight class. So if you want to come down here and win a fight and establish yourself, then I'll fight you. But you're not in the weight class. You don't deserve the match. Now, that's very off-putting. It's very off-putting because no fighter should decide who's got the right. Or he makes an argument that Ray Borg deserves it more than a former world champion and TJ Dillashaw. Tough argument, the wrong argument. He was wrong on his merits. He was way out of his lane by even suggesting it, but this is what happened, and we didn't see the fight. And so now TJ calls out Demetrius. Well, Demetrius is a killer. He's a killer on an incredible run. TJ Dillashaw is a killer in a different weight class. I mean, you want to talk about a super fight? We've been asking Dana to do this for years. Give us champion versus champion. But Dana goes, you know, I kind of got to do this divisions. I kind of got to keep everybody in the same division. It screws things up. It throws it off. And now he's finally just gone, yeah, this is the fight. Let's do it. TJ and Demetrius. So that's pretty cool. But Demetrius instantly pushes back and says, well, you know, I need this much money, X amount of money to take on TJ. And yeah, that's annoying. I get why it's annoying. He's got a contract. It's tough. But I do think that Demetrius will get his way. And I hope he doesn't let anything stand in the way of this. But he won't have the guarantee. And that's the side that fighters always have a hard time with. They want in on the pay-per-view, they want to be partners, but then they want this guarantee. It's like, man, you can't have your cake and eat it too. Anything in life is going to require some risk if there's going to be some reward. I really think Demetrius is going to get his way, though. And I don't mean that he's going to get this guarantee up front. It's going to be hindsight. There's going to be some risk, but I think it's a good bet. The way his contract is structured, where his thresholds need to be, where his bonuses kick in and the numbers that they kick in at, I believe that pay-per-view, and this isn't some insane pay-per-view, but that's a damn good night out right there. That's a damn solid night out right there. I think that they could do, I think just them could do 450 to 550. People are going to tell me I'm being lofty. I don't think so. I think they could do 450 to 550. If they got a supporting cast, who knows? They had a great co-main event. Or if they were the co-main event, you stack somebody on top of them, I think you could have something really interesting there. Maybe Cormier's next fight, let them open. Let's see where it goes. But my point is this. What Demetrius is asking for, that's just simply not how the industry works. It's not how the industry of business works. However, I think Demetrius is in a pretty good spot. And I hope that he sees that, because I'd like to see the fight, selfishly. I hope that he sees it, but I do think he's going to get his way. I think that he's going to get the numbers, and he's going to put himself in a position where he can get even more numbers. He can get even bigger. I mean, sky's the limit on those things. It's all about how many people want to sit down and push the button and watch a fight. It's as simple as that. Get out a calculator at the end of the night, total it up, and boom, here's yours, here's mine. Great doing business with you, move on to the next one. It's as simple as that. And I do think that he's going to be a really happy guy. I think I speak for all of us, right? We're all willing to pitch in on that. Let's see that fight. Guys, if you're looking for a vehicle, car, truck, van, fits on four wheels, and you're looking to buy it, it doesn't matter if it's new or if it's just new to you, here's how you buy it. True Car. www.truecar.com. If you're on a smartphone, and most of you are listening to this show on a smartphone right now, go into your search engine, download the app. Type in True Car, it'll pop right up. Even if you're not looking for a car, go grab that app. Because someday you will. Every one of you is driving something. The question is, what did you pay for it? Here's how it works. Virtually, through your computer, go in, build the car you want, year, make, model, color. Type in your zip code. It will show you what people in your area paid for that exact same car. That becomes your price. Most people are saving $4,000 off of the MSRP. At that point, you will be connected with a True Car certified dealer. Again, over your computer. So you will work out the price. You will find the dealership. When you get down there, it's quick. It's going to save time. And your car is going to be at the lot. No more falling in love with an ad, showing up to a dealership, spending a day or even a weekend down there, and leaving in a stripped down version of your dream car. They will have the vehicle. You will know the price. You're in and out. True Car. All right, guys. I've had it with you all until Friday. I'm Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.
Thanks for listening to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
What's going on, man?
Hi, guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the team, Loveline, man. You guys remember us from back in the day? Well, we're doing a pod, and we're doing it every day.
And we've been doing it for a while, and if I hear one more time people say, God, I loved you and Adam together on Loveline, and I'm like, yeah, we're doing a podcast. Will you please just join us at the Adam and Dr. Drew Show, please?
Right.
At adamanddrdrewshow.com. It's a great show. Come on now. Only on Podcast One. That's us, Adam and Dr. Drew Show. Just like the old days.
Doctor's orders.
Oh, man, you're funny.
Yep. All right. Let's go save some babies.
Let's do it.